from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Lee, it's like my dad used to tell me, when people tell you who they are, believe them.
Yep, good advice.
Yep.
Thanks, Dad.
And billionaire Elon Musk was telling you who they are over the weekend, retweeting this shocking New York Times story, although not that shocking. They've been attacking the Constitution for a while now, getting the left used to the idea that it's going to have to go in order to save democracy. They're going to have to get rid of it. And it is an anti-democratic document because it resulted in the election of Donald Trump. Ergo, it has to go. This incredible article, it's jaw-dropping to read. In the New York Times, the headline is, "The Constitution is sacred. Is it also dangerous?" And this is not, they've been doing one of these every other month now.
Boy.
Here's what the author wrote. "Americans have long assumed that the Constitution could save us. But a growing chorus now wonders whether we need to be saved from it. The document that's supposed to be the bulwark against authoritarianism can end up fostering the widespread cynicism that helps authoritarianism grow." In other words, free speech. Free speech is a problem, and it needs to go away. It needs to go away because it led to the election of Donald Trump, who is, of course, a dictator. Funny, you know, I just don't remember his last presidency as being all that dictatorial. No. I seem to remember the weaponized Democrat-controlled government police state cracking down on him, but I don't seem to remember him being much of a dictator.
When was the last time that a dictator was, you know, not reelected? I mean, you know, Trump lost the election, whether, you know, you agree with the outcome or not. He lost the election and ceded power, and Biden was president. So how is he a dictator? Because dictators usually remain in office until they are overthrown, not, you know, losing an election.
Well, here's what they're arguing. And you know what's fascinating in this whole constitutional, this whole article about the Constitution, they're actually admitting, the New York Times, that this isn't actually a democracy, and they want to destroy the Constitution to make it one. Listen to what they write. Here's their beef, okay, with it. "Trump owes his political assent to the Constitution, making him a beneficiary of a document that is essentially anti-democratic and increasingly dysfunctional. After all, Trump became president in 2016 after losing the popular vote but winning the Electoral College."
Which is how it's done in this country.
Always has been. Oh. He appointed, they write, 3 justices to the Supreme Court, 2 of whom were confirmed by senators representing just 44% of the population. Those 3 justices helped overturn Roe v. Wade, a reversal with which most Americans disagreed. Yes, because this is not a democracy.
Right.
Let me repeat, not a democracy. The purpose of having a republic and the Constitution written the way that it is so that the majority would not trample the rights of the minority and we would all be free, not just people who agree with the people in the New York Times newsroom.
Which is the way they want it.
Which is the way they want it. And Elon Musk tweeted over the weekend, they want to overthrow the Constitution. Yes, they are telling you, as my dad said, who they are and what they plan to do. And they're getting their sheeple ready for it.
Yeah. They want to do away with the Constitution. They want to eliminate the Electoral College. They want to pack the Supreme Court with people that agree with them. And then accuse Republicans of being the problem.
Right. And when their candidate and his family members have clearly committed crimes, they want to be able to censor that because they know best that, you know, who should be our leader, even if his family is packed full of criminals that, you know, accepted bribes on his behalf. They know best who is to lead us. And so that person should be censored.
Right.
And that's what is really being said here is that the Constitution is anti-democratic, one, because it allowed Donald Trump to win, but also because it leads to our dysfunctionality, because it leads to so much disagreement. So they want to protect us, they say, from authoritarianism by getting rid of our fundamental rights, which are embodied in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
Coming from the party that wants to dictate to us what is to power the vehicles that we buy and pay for.
Right.
Just let that sink in, if I can use that phrase again. Talk about dictatorial and authoritarian. Oh. And it's, and it's, you know, and that's over an issue that the American people overwhelmingly have voted with their feet saying no, because they're not in the showrooms buying them. Yes, there are some, and there's, you know, plenty of people who do want it, but it is certainly not a majority. So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get off on that issue, but I mean, that's to me is a prime example that's right out in front of us, that show you what authoritarianism looks like.
Well, what they're saying here, and this is radical, is that basically we're either going to have to get rid of the Constitution or the country is going to be in grave danger of fracturing.
Oh, we're already there.
They write, West Coast states might form a nation called Pacifica. Please go. Please.
Go ahead.
Please. Bye-bye.
Washington, Oregon, California.
Yeah.
Have at it. Go at it.
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
If you want to live in an authoritarian regime where the folks in the New York Times newsroom decide what's real and you don't get to argue with them, could you? You know what? You go do that. We're going to build a really big wall so that when it's miserable after 6 months, you can't climb over.
Or we'll just wait for the big one and it's going to be off our coast anyway. So,
red states, the New York Times writes, might form their own country. They say they hope any divorce, if it comes, will be peaceful. But they say there's a better option. We need to get rid of the dysfunction through disagreement. You know what all this is about? Let me bottom line this, actually, what they're actually mad about. For many, many years, they had a lock on what the American people thought.
Right.
Because it was just the networks, New York Times, Washington Post, telling people lies.
The three networks had an hour-long or 30-minute-long newscast at 6 o'clock or 6:30 or 7 or whatever it was. And then that was the only thing that you had access to.
Yes.
That and the newspapers.
And now they're trying to figure out how to block your access to a world of information that technology has brought us, so many different viewpoints and counterpoints, and you don't even need to listen to them anymore. And look, you know what this is really about? I read the stats. The entire combined readership of the top 50 newspapers in this country, digital and actual print, is 9 million.
Yeah.
That including New York Times, Washington Post, and Wall Street Journal.
A mere shadow of its former self.
As somebody was pointing out the other day, there are, you know, dozens of pundits on Twitter with bigger followings than that, including the biggest pundit of them all, Elon Musk, who, again, it's not unusual for his tweets to go 50, 60 million. They can't counter it combined. And now they're freaking out because they have lost control over the American people. And they're trying to figure out how to put it back. They got the FBI in there everywhere but Twitter, or X or whatever you call it. Tamping down, censoring, doing anti-democratic things.
Well, they no longer have a monopoly over the narrative.
This is what's driving them nuts. And they feel that unless they have a monopoly, we'll have what they call dangerous dysfunction.
Right. In other words, political discourse as it used to be referred to.
Yes. And they want political discourse, but it's just going to be, you know, the folks at the New York Times arguing with the folks at the Washington Post.
Right.
Yeah, but not us. We won't be heard from.
Do you want to tax millionaires at 90% or 95%?
Right. Exactly.
I mean, that's political discourse. That's you know, bipartisanship there.
Right. Unless, like, the leader of the Democrats calls them up and says, don't say that today. So they'll go, okay, we won't publish that then.
Right.
And we'll go ahead and censor anybody who wants to.
Yeah.
So you've got that going on the one hand. On the other hand, you have this terrifying article by Robert. I'm going to call him by his real last name, Reich, as in Third Reich. I mean, this stuff, you can't make this stuff up.
Yeah. Labor secretary from the Clinton administration.
Yes. And what else was he? He was an Obama advisor. Okay. Yeah. So this is Obama. This is Obama. He can't, you better believe he got permission from Democrats before he did this. Writes an article, editorial, in the UK Guardian. Basically begging Europe to arrest Elon Musk.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
He is a menace. He has to go. He allows true things on his platform and some of our lies, too. You know what the irony is here? All these Democrats have Twitter accounts.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Including Reich.
Yes.
Reich, whatever. So he writes this piece in The Guardian demanding, saying, hey, the way we take care of this is either Brazil or UK or somebody needs to arrest Elon Musk. What is this? They know how to read this. He didn't write that without Obama's permission. He's, you know, an Obama guy. Obama will eventually come out and back all this, okay? He will, but he can't right now because they can't show their true colors in this election. They'll terrify people.
And you already got the Brazilians doing it, so.
Right. So he writes this piece begging for the arrest of Elon Musk and, of course, his extradition. Basically giving them a wink, wink, nod, nod. Hey, yeah, you know what? We don't want our conservative political class. We don't want Musk, and we need to crush X. So if you would go ahead and take him off our hands, we'll extradite him to you. That's what he's saying. Attaboy, keep it up. Please save us from this free debate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the number one story in the country still right now. Ricky Pearsall. First round draft pick, 49ers. Made the mistake of thinking you can still just walk around the post-America territory of San Francisco, which is, you know, technically on the map, it's in America, but otherwise, no, not recognizably American in any way. It's culture, it's legal culture, it's tolerance of crime, very post-American. It's kind of a post-American apocalyptic wasteland, I really think of it. Headline, quick acting police officer came to the aid of Ricky Pearsall and prayed. So the young thug and future Democrat voter wanted his Rolex. Pearsall did not want to give it to him. There was a scuffle. Both of them ended up shot with the gun of the thug. And by the way, the number one story right now, the version of it is we're awaiting charges. And everybody's like, normally you wouldn't watch that as closely because you would assume the charges would be hefty. The amount of time. And we're talking about killing an NFL player, potentially. You tried to do that. I mean, this is a gunshot wound to the chest. But it's a post, you know, it's a post-American territory. So you don't know what the Democrats are going to do. You don't know what kind of charges, if they're much of anything, are going to be leveled here. You have to wait to find out. That's why the whole country is like, you know, is these going to be serious charges? Are they just going to bond them out, let them go shoot someone else? Because that's how it's done in these areas. The responding police officer, Joel Harrell, said there was so much blood. This is an incredible story for this reason, too. It's really kind of a miracle. I mean, how do you get shot in the chest and it misses all your vital organs? But it did. She heard gunfire, ran from her post in Union Square, San Francisco, see a man she didn't recognize in obvious distress. She applied pressure on the entrance and exit wounds. Question about what happened. Got a description of the attacker, who also was shot because Pearsall fought him. Everybody wants to know, did the guy get the Rolex? I don't know. I don't know who ended up this. I want to know that too. That's when the cop began to pray for Pearsall. He listened, and that's what I wanted him to do, she told the Chronicle. He asked her if he was going to die. Not an uncommon question for somebody victimized in a post-American hellhole, that is San Francisco. It's not your time, Harold said. You're strong. Just focus on breathing. Anyway, incredibly, they're thinking he's going to be able to play in like 4 weeks. He's already out of the hospital. Shot in the chest. Can you imagine? What are you talking about? A lucky guy. Holy cow. Anyway, and I bet you he was still in shock. He walked himself to the ambulance. I still can't get over that. But everybody's sharing that video. It's gone viral. The Pearsall family obviously believes God has also intervened. Quote, I want to thank God for protecting my baby boy, Aaron Pearsall, the player's mother, wrote on Facebook. He's extremely lucky. God shielded him. He was shot in the chest. It exited out his back. Thanks be to God and missed his vital organs. He's in good spirits now. Aaron Pearsall asked readers to continue praying for Pearsall before eventually deleting the post. I wonder why she deleted it. Anyway, going to be very interesting to see what kind of charges you get for the attempted murder, because that's what this was, of an NFL player in San Francisco. Or does that even register on their Richter scale there? Does that even clock in? You know, and again, it's because this is such a tolerant environment for crime, as long as it is perceived that the crime is being committed by a current or future Democrat voter. And then we have to try to understand them and accommodate them. By the way, speaking of sports stuff, over the weekend, have you seen what's going on with Brittany Mahomes? We've talked about this before. Okay. She is the right wife of Patrick Mahomes. She is having to, according to reporting from the weekend, lean on her husband to get through this very difficult time. Do you know what she did? She liked an Instagram post laying out Trump's agenda. She didn't comment on it. No, no. She liked it. Absolute firestorm. Everybody wanting her to retract it, to denounce Trump. She liked a post. You're thinking, is there more to the story? No. Well, over the weekend, Katie barred the door. She liked two more pro-Trump comments on posts. Can you believe it? And the internet has gone crazy. They have no tolerance, y'all. You are not allowed to even like a post. I mean, can you imagine? She hasn't even put out a pro-Trump post. She just liked other people's comments and posts. Three now. Headline article says she's leaning on her husband, who's often been the subject of controversy, to get through this difficult time. What difficult time? Folks, do you remember when the NFL gave players the choice of what Democrat hate group they were going to put the sticker, the logo sticker on their helmet? Remember, you could choose between End Racism, It Takes All of Us, Stop Hate, Say Their Stories, Black Lives Matter, and Inspire Change. Black Lives Matter, obviously the fundraising done through Act Blue, which is a Democrat. Because these are Democrat groups. You had to wear that. If you didn't wear it, you had to put out a press conference. You had to do a press conference explaining why. We put up with their kneeling and their America hating. All that politics from them. And all she does is like a post by the guy who right now is ahead in the polls, with a majority of American support. And you'd have thought she tossed the baby out the window driving down the highway. It's incredible. It's incredible. And now you got poor Caitlin Clark going through the same thing. Poor Caitlin Clark. Left off the Olympic team, shattering. Every week she does this now, she shatters a new WNBA record. But she will not bend the knee. She will not ascribe to wokeness, make a woke statement. And that leads them to believe she might be a conservative. They don't know, but they suspect it. And so she's hated. She's literally been beaten on the court, thrown to the ground with refs either refusing to call it or doing a lesser call. It has cost them points in games. She didn't get to make the free throw. Well, she just scored a career-high 31 points and 12 assists in Indiana's final regular season matchup on Friday night. And LeBron James, for some reason, I don't know why, he's usually a woke America hater, is got her back. He thinks they should leave her alone. Caitlin Clark, he tweeted, exclamation, on his ex account. Hi, haters. So at least she's got one person backing her. Well, you just heard the news. Tragic bicyclist struck weeks ago, died, unfortunately, on our roads, struck and killed. Look, law says you can, you know, a bicycle is as valid a vehicle as a car. It can share the road. So obviously you have a right to be out there on your bike. But is it a good idea? Is it a good idea? You got to have a lot of trust in your fellow human beings that I got to tell you, I just don't have. See this going into the Labor Day weekend. I actually had this in my stack. It caused a huge bunch of buzz over the weekend. Can you imagine this? Two brothers, one of them, they're both hockey players. They both played in the NHL. Two brothers come home for their sister's wedding. Joyous time for the family, right? All their families are there. They're gathered for the wedding. They get on bikes and decide to go for a ride around this, you know, around town. This is in New Jersey. Along comes a what? Drunk driver. Selfish. Incredibly, incredibly, incredibly selfish. Especially today, when it is so easy to get an Uber. It's not even, I mean, it used to be more complicated to call a taxi, sit around and wait. I mean, you get an Uber in 10 minutes. Take a dang Uber. No excuses. I'm sorry. I have a disease. I don't care. The disease doesn't make it, you know, you may not be able to resist alcohol. You may relapse, but you could call an Uber. Your disease doesn't prevent you from calling an Uber. If you can manually move and drive a car, you can call an Uber. You can do that. Anyway, both of them struck, can you imagine, and killed on their bikes. Unbelievable. Anyway, both brothers played for the Boston College's hockey team. Johnny Gaudreau was drafted by Calgary Flames out of college in 2014 and in 2022. Signed with the Columbus Blue Jackets on a 7-year deal. Matthew Gaudreau played 5 years of professional hockey, according to the United States Hockey League. Get this. Matthew Gaudreau's wife, Madeline, is expecting their first child. He never got to see his baby. Little boy named Tripp, he'll never meet. Johnny had two children with his wife, Meredith. She posted a tribute to her husband, said he was the love of her life, and she was just so glad for the time that they had. Both were supposed to be groomsmen at their sister's wedding. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, I see this all the time, and I just shake my head. I see some of you on your bikes, and I know you have a right to be there. I get it. It's your life. You can do what you want. But I see some of you riding on these country roads, no shoulder. You guys realize this is one of the highest per capita drunk driving kill states in the nation? It's usually top five. Do you realize there are more accidents here per capita? We're almost always top five for fatal accidents, drunk or not. But we're among the drunkest people in the nation too. I mean, you're on the road with that. I'm amazed. I watch these people on their bikes with the expectation that it's going to be okay. I'm like, really? Have you seen how people drive? I'm just in awe. I'm like, wow, you are really going to ride that bike on that two-lane highway. No shoulder, built in the 60s, middle of the country. Wow. Never mind the fact that every single person, you're forcing them to go around you over that double yellow line and putting them in jeopardy too. I know you can do it. I know you can. I'm going to get the text. I have everybody. I know you do. But just because you can doesn't mean you should. I often think it's profoundly selfish, particularly when I have to break the law, crossing the double yellow line, and then come back over to go around you because you've chosen to ride on a road with no shoulder. So now I got to risk my life. And sometimes I won't do it. Sometimes I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to ride behind you for the next 9 miles. We got all day long because I'm not. It drives me bonkers that I have to break the law crossing that double yellow line and then crossing back to go around you. Drives me nuts. And you know what else I fear? I fear, because you know the quality of our gravel on the side ain't so good, you know, our asphalt, because a lot of these roads are still falling apart. I am scared to death that bicyclist is going to hit a rock or something and, you know, wobble and fall over right in front of me. And now everything I've ever worked for is gone. So it's depending on the road, if I've got room to do it and I can safely maneuver around you. Yes, I have followed many bicyclists behind them for miles and they're waving, go around. I'm like, no, I'm not. Sorry. We'll do this all day long. We'll go funeral procession. Because I'm not going to risk my life, and I'm not going to risk the life of the person in the other lane, and I'm not going to risk your life that you wobble and fall. And we're in a two-lane road. You know how narrow those are out in the country here. They're not well-engineered. They're old. They're not built for this. No shoulder. I'm sorry. I'm not going full in the other lane to go around you, and I'm not going by you because I'm afraid that, you know, you'll fall, you'll skid, something. And I'm going to be in a world of hurt. So you know what? It's going to drive you nuts. That's okay. The whole line of us, we're going to go right down the road behind you for the next, 10 minutes. And you know what they'll do? This is a crazy thing. They'll get annoyed and they'll like, you know, hey, pass me. And I'm like, you just passed three neighborhoods. You couldn't pull over? You can turn off and go ride in the neighborhood. Much safer for you there. Why can't you ride in the neighborhood? I just have to hold my breath. It's really selfish to me, but you can do it. I mean, I'm not going to be selfish, too. I'm not crossing that line. I'm not risking your life, and I'm not risking mine. So we will all just wait for you to skedaddle very slowly down this road. And they get annoyed at me, too, because they don't like the feeling of that car behind them. It makes them nervous going slowly. And, I mean, I keep a good distance because, again, I mean, I don't want you falling down. I want to be able to stop if you falter. So that's my rant. Bicyclists drive me nuts. Texture rates hit zero when the bicycle on the highway laws were passed. Cars were way slower and many people drove horses. Yeah, and look, we have roads here in Greenville that are absolutely equipped for this. We've got bike lanes, or they're just wide enough that it's sort of, you know, yeah, you can go around. You know what I mean? It's like a, you know, broken line down the middle. It's two lanes. I can safely go around you. I don't mind that. That doesn't bother me. But man, you get going on the country roads near where I live. Oh, does that get on my nerves? Again, it's profoundly selfish. Texture rates, they ride on roads where there is not wide enough room for two cars. Texture rates, Tara, bicyclists used a taxpayer-funded amenity for free for their hobby. This needs to stop. If they can't afford to pay $10 a year to use a taxpayer-funded amenity, they should ride in the dirt. Another texture writes, not to mention the number of bicyclists that ignore traffic laws. They routinely blow through stop signs, especially in rural areas. Texture writes, one or two bicyclists is okay. 35 is a problem. Yeah. Texture writes, also, I mean, we teach our kids not to ride bikes in the road. Yeah, and then they go by adults doing it. And this is why they want Elon Musk arrested and his control of Twitter done away with. See, this is a problem. When he retweets this stuff, like the armed Venezuelan takeover by illegal immigrants, this trend in Aragua, this time in Chicago, started in Aurora. I bet this is going on all over the country. This is a template. 32 armed Venezuelans trespass in a building in Chicago. They're taking over. Taking the building over. Just claiming the territory, because why not? Not like the Democrats are going to defend it. This is blue territory. Alarming 911 calls have emerged from Chicago, revealing a harrowing situation involving 32 Venezuelans, individuals armed with firearms, trespassing in a building complex. Elon, see, this is the kind of thing that the FBI could have just algorithmed down so as not to embarrass the Democrats if Jack Dorsey still owned Twitter. Instead, you have Elon Musk retweeting it. Oh, that's not good. And not only retweeting it, but retweeting it with the message to Americans, you know, this is what the country is headed for. He said, get ready, America. This is just the beginning. And it is. This is how we will lose territory to cartels and armed gangs that will, you know, go into the magnet that the Democrats have created. It's kind of like a vacuum. There's no law enforcement there. We celebrate anybody who's breaking the law because they were probably hurt by the patriarchy. And oops, here comes the cartels. So Elon Musk steps in, retweets this mess. Now you've got tens of millions of people and it's trending on Twitter, which means the media has to go and lie and knock it down, tell you it's not happening because this hurts Her Highness. Now somebody's released the 911 calls. You should see this. Libs of TikTok has it, which is, believe it or not, a X account. First, they did this in Aurora. Well, you just heard the news. Tragic bicyclist struck weeks ago, died, unfortunately, on our roads, struck and killed. Look. Law says you can, you know, a bicycle is as valid a vehicle as a car. It can share the road. No, so obviously you have a right to be out there on your bike. But is it a good idea? Is it a good idea? You got to have a lot of trust in your fellow human beings that I got to tell you, I just don't have. See this going into the Labor Day weekend. I actually had this in my stack. It just caused a huge bunch of buzz over the weekend. Can you imagine this? Two brothers, one of them, they're both hockey players. They both played in the NHL. Two brothers come home for their sister's wedding. Joyous time for the family, right? All their families are there. They're gathered for the wedding. They get on bikes and decide to go for a ride around this, you know, around town. This is in New Jersey. Along comes a what? Drunk driver. Selfish. Incredibly, incredibly, incredibly selfish. Especially today. It is so easy to get an Uber. It's not even, I mean, it used to be more complicated to call a taxi, sit around and wait. I mean, you get it. You get an Uber in 10 minutes. Take a dang Uber. No excuses. I'm sorry. I have a disease. I don't care. The disease doesn't make it, you know, you may not be able to resist alcohol. You may relapse, but you could call an Uber. Your disease doesn't prevent you from calling an Uber. If you can manually move and drive a car, you can call an Uber. You can do that. Anyway, both of them struck, can you imagine, and killed on their bikes. Unbelievable. Anyway, both brothers played for the Boston College's hockey team. Johnny Gaudreau was drafted by Calgary Flames out of college in 2014 and in 2022. Signed with the Columbus Blue Jackets on a 7-year deal. Matthew Gaudreau played 5 years of professional hockey, according to the United States Hockey League. Get this. Matthew Gaudreau's wife, Madeline, is expecting their first child. He never got to see his baby. Little boy named Tripp, he'll never meet. Johnny had two children with his wife, Meredith. She posted a tribute to her husband, said he was the love of her life, and she was just so glad for the time that they had. Both were supposed to be groomsmen at their sister's wedding. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, you know, I see this all the time, and I just shake my head. I see some of you on your bikes, and I know you have a right to be there. I get it. It's your life. You can do what you want. But I see some of you riding on these country roads, no shoulder. You guys realize this is one of the highest per capita drunk driving kill states in the nation? It's usually top five. Do you realize there are more accidents here per capita? We're almost always top five for fatal accidents, drunk or not. But we're among the drunkest people in the nation, too. I mean, you're on the road with that. I'm amazed. I watch these people on their bikes with the expectation that it's going to be okay. I'm like, really? Have you seen how people drive? I'm just in awe. I'm like, wow, you are really going to ride that bike on that two-lane highway. No shoulder, built in the 60s. middle of the country. Wow. Never mind the fact that every single person, you're forcing them to go around you over that double yellow line and putting them in jeopardy too. I know you can do it. I know you can. I'm going to get the text. I have everybody. I know you do. But just because you can doesn't mean you should. I often think it's profoundly selfish, particularly when I have to break the law, crossing the double yellow line, and then come back over to go around you because you've chosen to ride on a road with no shoulder. So now I got to risk my life. And sometimes I won't do it. Sometimes I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to ride behind you for the next 9 miles. We got all day long because I'm not. It drives me bonkers that I have to break the law crossing that double yellow line and then crossing back to go around you. Drives me nuts. And you know what else I fear? I fear, because you know the quality of our gravel on the side ain't so good, you know, our asphalt, because a lot of these roads are still falling apart. I am scared to death that bicycle is going to hit a rock or something and, you know, wobble and fall over right in front of me. And now everything I've ever worked for is gone. So it's depending on the road, if I've got room to do it and I can safely maneuver around you, yes, I have followed many bicyclists behind them for miles and they're waving, go around. I'm like, no, I'm not. Sorry. We'll do this all day long. We'll go funeral procession because I'm not going to risk my life and I'm not going to risk the life of the person in the other lane. And I'm not going to risk your life that you wobble and fall. And we're in a two lane road. You know how narrow those are out in the country here. They're not well engineered. They're old. They're not built for this. No shoulder. I'm sorry. I'm not going full in the other lane to go around you. And I'm not going by you because I'm afraid that, you know, you'll fall, you'll skid, something. And I'm going to be in a world of hurt. So you know what? It's going to drive you nuts. That's okay. The whole line of us, we're going to go right down the road behind you for the next, 10 minutes? And you know what they'll do? This is a crazy thing. They'll get annoyed and they'll like, you know, hey, pass me. And I'm like, you just passed three neighborhoods. You couldn't pull over? You can turn off and go ride in the neighborhood. Much safer for you there. Why can't you ride in the neighborhood? I just have to hold my breath. It's really selfish to me, but you can do it. I mean, I'm not going to be selfish too. I'm not crossing that line. I'm not risking your life and I'm not risking mine. So we will all just wait for you to skedaddle very slowly down this road. And they get annoyed at me too. Because they don't like the feeling of that car behind them. It makes them nervous going slowly. And I mean, I keep a good distance. Because again, I mean, I don't want you falling down. I want to be able to stop if you falter. So that's my rant. Bicyclists drive me nuts. Texture writes, hey, Tara, when the bicycle on the highway laws were passed, cars were way slower and many people drove horses. Yeah, and look, we have roads here in Greenville that are absolutely equipped for this. We've got bike lanes, or they're just wide enough that it's sort of, you know, yeah, you can go around, you know what I mean? It's like a, you know, broken line down the middle. It's two lanes. I can safely go around you. I don't mind that. That doesn't bother me. But man, you get going on the country roads near where I live. Oh, does that get on my nerves? Again, it's profoundly selfish. Texture writes, they ride on roads where there is not wide enough room for two cars. Texture writes, Tara, bicyclists used a taxpayer-funded amenity for free for their hobby. This needs to stop. If they can't afford to pay $10 a year to use a taxpayer-funded amenity, they should ride in the dirt. Another texter writes, not to mention the number of bicyclists that ignore traffic laws. They routinely blow through stop signs, especially in rural areas. Texter writes, one or two bicyclists is okay. 35 is a problem. Yeah. Texter writes, also, I mean, we teach our kids not to ride bikes in the road. Yeah, and then they go by adults doing it. And this is why they want Elon Musk arrested and his control of Twitter done away with. See, this is a problem. When he retweets this stuff, like the armed Venezuelan takeover by illegal immigrants, this trend in Aragua, this time in Chicago, started in Aurora. I bet this is going on all over the country. This is a template. 32 armed Venezuelans trespass in a building in Chicago. They're taking the building over. Just claiming the territory, because why not? Not like the Democrats are going to defend it. This is blue territory. Alarming 911 calls have emerged from Chicago, revealing a harrowing situation involving 32 Venezuelan individuals armed with firearms trespassing in a building complex. Elon, see, this is the kind of thing that the FBI could have just algorithmed down so as not to embarrass the Democrats if Jack Dorsey still owned Twitter. Instead, you have Elon Musk retweeting it. Oh, that's not good. And not only retweeting it, but retweeting it with the message to Americans, you know, this is what the country is headed for. He said, get ready, America. This is just the beginning. And it is. This is how we will lose territory to cartels and armed gangs that will, you know, go into the magnet that the Democrats have created. It's kind of like a vacuum. There's no law enforcement there. We celebrate anybody who's breaking the law because they were probably hurt by the patriarchy. And oops, here comes the cartels. So Elon Musk steps in, retweets this mess. Now you've got tens of millions of people and it's trending on Twitter, which means the media has to go and lie and knock it down, tell you it's not happening because this hurts Her Highness. Now somebody's released the 911 calls. You should see this. Libs of TikTok has it, which is, believe it or not, a X account. First, they did this in Aurora, Colorado. Now Chicago. Which city will be next? This invasion happened on Kamala's watch. Yeah, and Elon Musk retweeting it. So this is the problem. Yeah, 7.6 million views. And he retweeted it at midnight. So, I mean, look, 7.6 million views. Again, the entire combined readership of the top 50 newspapers in this country, which is digital and, you know, paper, is only 9 million. And they don't think he should be able to have this kind of power if they don't have this kind of power. Never mind the fact that, look, if any of these journalists were any good, just go get yourself an X account. Be good. Produce content people want. And you'll have millions of views too. You can do it, but see, they can't. Because you know what? People don't like being lied to. They know what the mainstream media is about and they can't build a following like this. They're jealous and they want to destroy everybody who can, most especially Musk. Oh, this is crazy. This is nuts. By the way, police officers are beginning to rebel in Aurora and they're writing letters that are getting posted on X saying, look, these Democrats are lying. Yes, Trende Aragua did conquer, did take over these apartment complexes. It's not our imagination. I responded to the calls. It's a mess. But not a surprise to you. If you're one of my Battleground America listeners, I've been predicting that these cartels, these gangs would take territory in blue areas and conquer it. And they are. Can you blame them? I mean, it's free stuff, right? Free apartment complexes. I mean, if we're not willing to defend them, I mean, you know. Law of the jungle, I guess. They can take what they want. And this is why they want Elon Musk arrested and his control of Twitter done away with. See, this is a problem. When he retweets this stuff, like the armed Venezuelan takeover by illegal immigrants, this Trende Aragua, this time in Chicago, started in Aurora. I bet this is going on all over the country. This is a template. 32 armed Venezuelans trespass in a building in Chicago. They're taking over. Taking the building over. Just claiming the territory. Because why not? Not like the Democrats are going to defend it. This is blue territory. Alarming 911 calls have emerged from Chicago revealing a harrowing situation involving 32 Venezuelans, individuals armed with firearms, trespassing in a building complex. Elon, see, this is the kind of thing that the FBI could have just algorithmed down so as not to embarrass the Democrats if Jack Dorsey still owned Twitter. Instead, you have Elon Musk retweeting it. Oh, that's not good. And not only retweeting it, but retweeting it with the message to Americans, you know, this is what the country is headed for. He said, get ready, America. This is just the beginning. And it is. This is how we will lose territory to cartels and armed gangs that will, you know, go into the magnet that the Democrats have created. It's kind of like a vacuum. There's no law enforcement there. We celebrate anybody who's breaking the law because they were probably hurt by the patriarchy. And oops, here comes the cartels. So Elon Musk steps in, retweets this mess. Now you've got tens of millions of people and it's trending on Twitter, which means the media has to go and lie and knock it down, tell you it's not happening because this hurts Her Highness. Now somebody's released the 911 calls. You should see this. Libs of TikTok has it, which is, believe it or not, a X account. First, they did this in Aurora, Colorado. Now Chicago. Which city will be next? This invasion happened on Kamala's watch. Yeah, and Elon Musk retweeting it. So this is the problem. Yeah, 7.6 million views. And he retweeted it at midnight. So, I mean, look, 7.6 million views. Again, the entire combined readership of the top 50 newspapers in this country, which is digital and, you know, paper, is only 9 million. And they don't think he should be able to have this kind of power if they don't have this kind of power. Never mind the fact that, look, if any of these journalists were any good, just go get yourself an X account. Be good. Produce content people want. And you'll have millions of views too. You can do it, but see, they can't. Because you know what? People don't like being lied to. They know what the mainstream media is about and they can't build a following like this. They're jealous and they want to destroy everybody who can, most especially Musk. Oh, this is crazy. This is nuts. By the way, police officers are beginning to rebel in Aurora and they're writing letters that are getting posted on X saying, look, these Democrats are lying. Yes, Trende Aragua did conquer, did take over these apartment complexes. It's not our imagination. I responded to the calls. It's a mess. But not a surprise to you. If you're one of my Battleground America listeners, I've been predicting that these cartels, these gangs would take territory in blue areas and conquer it. And they are. Can you blame them? I mean, it's free stuff, right? Free apartment complexes. I mean, if we're not willing to defend them, I mean, you know. Law of the jungle, I guess. They can take what they want.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.